Oh, such a good question.
Well, when you come up with these questions, that's another great branding question.
That's a big question.
That's a very interesting question because it really makes you think about what you just did.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
And welcome to another episode of the Your Living Brand Live Show. This is Ben Baker. Welcome again to the podcast. Wherever you're listening, whether you're on Spotify, iTunes, iHeart, whatever platform you are on, subscribe. You know what? Enjoy the podcast. Send it off to all your friends. Let's create a bigger community. And I hope that you're really enjoying it. So if you got any questions, just send me an email at ben@yourbrandmarketing.com. Love to hear from you. Love to find out what's going on. Find out what guests you would like to hear from. And we'll go out and we'll find them for you. So thanks for being part of my amazing audience. This week, we have the blind blogger with us. We have Max Ivey. Max, welcome to the show, and we are going to get into what is the blind blogger, where did you come from, and where are you today?
Well, I appreciate it, Ben, and it's good to talk to you again because I recently had the pleasure of having you on my podcast, the What's Your Excuse Show, so I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, I love doing these back-and-back things. I mean, you and I met through social media. It's amazing to me the number of people that I know around the world just through connections on social media. You and I met through our mutual friend, Maura Sweeney, and she's an amazing woman. She's been on my show now. You've been on my show. And I love the conversations that come out of when you get offline with people, when you sit there and say, okay, I've met somebody on social media, but now let's get them onto a phone call. Let's get them on a Zoom chat. Let's actually get to know the person, find out a little bit more about them. That's what I think that social media is amazing because it gives you a way to reach out, build a layer of trust, understand each other, but then you know actually talk to one another and get to know what the person really is about and what they're passionate about. So let's get into it.
And you know, I couldn't agree with you more on that because I think that a lot of people that are in business online or that are creative entrepreneurs, they are really missing out on huge opportunities to connect with people and to not only move friendships further, faster, but also to maintain and support their mental health, to avoid those feelings of isolationism, just by saying, okay, I met this person on social media. Why not get on Zoom or Skype or Messenger with them and have a real conversation? And, you know, some of us have a podcast, so those conversations end up getting recorded too. But there are so many people there are content to do messages, tweets, you know, emails, and they have no desire. Some of them are even scared to have an actual conversation with people, and they're just, all of them are just missing out big time. So,
well, I find that things get misinterpreted so quickly online, whether it's an email, whether it's a tweet, whether it's, you know, a text message, whatever, because it's not real time, because it's not back and forth, because you can't just sit there and say immediately, well, what did you mean by that? And you're waiting for an answer. And all of a sudden somebody sends you a message and you go, what do they mean by this? And they go offline or, and all of a sudden it's a day or 2 days later before they respond. You know, all of a sudden you've lost that whole level of trust, that whole level of understanding. But when you actually get on a phone call or a Zoom chat or, you know, whatever, you have that ability to have those conversations. So thanks for being part of my conversation today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And, you know, as far as your first question about who is the blind blogger and where did he come from and how did he get here? I started out in a family of carnival owners, and I was lucky enough to help run the business alongside my father for about 15 years. Before his death to cancer led to the closing of our small traveling carnival, we were able to join up with my uncle's carnival and become part of his business for a few years, which gave me a little time to think about what I was going to do next. I had done the bookings and operated some kids' games, and they weren't interested in having me help them with their bookings. And on a bigger midway, my kids' games were failing. So I said, what else do you know that you could do? And I thought, well, I could probably help other people sell their used rides, because I've done that. And I started a website called the Midway Marketplace. Had no idea how to build a website, what being an online business person or a business person in general would look like. had to learn so many things, including how I ended up having to hand code HTML, recruit clients, set fees, write copy, manage media, record videos, and then, you know, eventually social media and emails, just so much stuff. And some of it was very challenging and some of it was very curious and interesting and exciting. And so I did that for like 6-7 years and I'm still doing it. But then people came along and they said, you know, Max, what you're doing, the way you take on these challenges with joy is very inspiring. We want you to share more about those experiences. So I said, what the heck, I'll do that. And I started the blindblogger.net, where I share the more personal aspects of being a blind entrepreneur. And that has, through the fact that people keep challenging me to try new things, that has led to 3 books, a 4th one that's on the way in April, over 200 podcast interviews, traveling the country solo, public speaking, helping other people get exposure for their creative work, and my own podcast, the What's Your Excuse Show, which we mentioned earlier today. But if I would say one thing that's got me here, it's basically been good friends who have seen things in me I didn't see in myself, or who challenged me to try stuff that scared me, but because they asked me to do it, I tried it anyway.
I want to get back and get people to understand this. You are legally blind.
No, I am totally blind. I have light perception. So technically I have light perception, but that means I can look at the light fixture and tell if it's on or off. That's because I have no peripheral vision. So that's the extent of my vision.
So with that, I mean, people need to sit there and think about this. What you were saying with creating of the Midway Marketplace and the Blind Blogger and everything goes with it. You're doing this without the opportunity to see. So creating websites, you know, building relationships, building companies, doing that. It's hard enough for anybody who is, and I'm not going to say perfectly healthy because you are perfectly healthy. It's just dealing with something that is a challenge. And it's amazing how you've overcome that challenge to be able to sit there and say, look, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. These are the things that are reality in my life. And it's not going to keep me from succeeding. So I really want to get into that, is where did that mentality come from? Because that has to have come from when you were a lot younger, to be able to sit there and say, you know, yes, I can, and this is how. And how did you get there? Because I think that's a magical thing that a lot of people should truly understand.
Right. I think part of it has to do with the decision you make when you get to a point in life where things are not the way you wanted them to be and will probably never be the way you wanted them to be that way again. But I would say the beginning comes from the fact I grew up in a family of carnival owners, and in the carnival industry, business, whatever the proper term is, it's a very unforgiving way to make a living. Nobody cares what happened to you during the previous 7 days. All they want to know is on Thursday or Friday night or Tuesday afternoon, can I buy a funnel cake or a cotton candy? Can I ride the Ferris wheel? Can I go win me a stuffed animal? And beyond that, they could care less if you've got 3 trucks on the sides of roads, or, you know, you broke your wrist loading one of the pieces of equipment. And so when you grow up in that business around those kinds of people, there aren't a lot of people in that business who are self-pitying, woe is me kind of people. They're generally, you know, we don't have the resources we want. We're short of time. We're short of money, but there has to be a solution and we're going to find it. You know, those are the kind of people I grew up with, my grandmother, my father, especially. My dad was one of those people who always would tell me there was nothing I couldn't do if I set my mind to it, that I was a creative. And sometimes he would even say shrewd, but his point was is that if you decide you can do it and you're willing to put in the effort, there will most likely be a way to make that happen. I was part of a scout troop for visually impaired people, and over the course of 4 years, with the help of a lot of other people, including, you know, the scoutmaster, assistant scoutmaster, other scouts, teachers, I achieved the rank of Eagle Scout, which is something I think only 3 or 4% of people in America have done. And if you talk about the number of blind eagles, it's an even smaller group. So, you know, those were times when I learned lessons. And then working in a family business alongside my dad, again, a lot of creative problem solving. My dad was most famous for this line, because we would get to towns a lot of times, me and him, we would go back for the last load, because with me being blind, while I could do the work as far as setting up and taking down rides, they always felt like it was a little dangerous, not me endangering them, but them endangering me, you know, maybe letting something fall on me or into me. So a lot of times I would make that last trip and we would get back to town, we would make opening, and people would go, well, Max, how did y'all do that? And the one thing he would always say to him, he'd look at him and he'd smile and he'd go, what, did we have a choice? Those are the kind of people I grew up around, that I lived with, and that I went up and down the road with for years before I started this other stuff.
And I think I love that. You know, do we have a choice? And a lot of times the answer is no. A lot of the time is we're put with stuff in front of us. And I don't care if you're blind. I don't care if it's money issues. I don't care if it's the economy. I don't care if it's, you know, competitors in the marketplace. It doesn't really matter. We're all going to reach a point in business somewhere where we're going to look at things and go, okay, what do we do now? And there's two different types of people. People that are going to solve the problem, and people are going to figure a way around it, and people that are going to be better because of the challenges that they are. And the people that crawl into a little ball and rock their knees and go, woe is me. And I think that that's a lesson that every single entrepreneur needs to learn, is that there is no straight line. There is no easy button. There is no hack for success in business. And we're all going to run into challenges, and we're all going to get into things that are seem insurmountable. But the question is, when you look at something that you think is insurmountable, are you going to sit there and go, oh, I can't do that, and throw up your hands? Or are you going to sit there and say, okay, how do we fix this? And I love the fact that you're part of the second. And I want to know, how did you go when your father died and you moved to your uncle's carny and you realized that there might not have been a place for you there? What led you to sit there and say, okay, what's next? And how do we move forward from there?
Well, it was simple. I wasn't happy. I was showing up on a midway that wasn't mine, where they didn't want me there, with games that weren't making any money, without the money to purchase new equipment or to update the equipment I had. And I thought, this is not sustainable. It got to a point where my mom and my brother had to take money out of their food trailer to buy the stock to put into my game so I could stay on the midway. And that was when I finally convinced them. I came to the decision myself a year or more before that, that it wasn't working, that I wasn't happy, and that I would be much happier if y'all would just let me quit and go home and do what I'm doing now, which at the time was the Midway Marketplace and growing that business. Let me focus on something that's growing, that's mine, that I could do something about. I would show up on the Midway and be there because, you know, there was the attitude, well, he's part of the family. He really should be here. And I tell you, it was next to impossible to get them to that point of should and should not. You know, he doesn't need to be here. Just because he's part of the family doesn't mean he needs to be here and be miserable. And finally, they let me and my crazy dog Penny spend more time at the house, and I was able to get more work done and spend more time focusing on things that were positive, that I enjoyed doing, even though they were challenging, and less time around people I just didn't like being around, you know? So basically, it got to the point where I was unhappy enough to do what I had to do to get the time and space to do something that made me happy.
And I think that's important. I mean, I grew up in the construction business. My father owned a commercial renovation company for 35 years. And probably about the time I hit about 19 or 20 years old, he and I had to have a conversation and sit there and say, is there truly room for me to succeed within this company? And the answer very quickly was no. You know, he didn't want to grow the company to a place where there would actually be room for me to succeed and room for me to grow, room for me to do the things that I wanted to do. And I realized, you know what? It's his company. It's, you know, he started it. It's his baby. He has the right to run the company the way that he wants to run it. So we shook hands and I went off my own way. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of people that feel this obligation to be part of the family business. And, you know, and sit there and say, well, whether I'm miserable, whether I like doing it, whether I don't like doing it, whether, you know, I'm successful at it, whether I'm not successful with it, I have this obligation to be part of the family because it's the family. And I think that I want your opinion on this. We all need to sit there and say, can we be successful? Can we put ourselves in a position where we know that we are going to succeed and we're going to feel good about ourselves? That's why I left, because the answer was no. But I want your opinion on that, you know, in terms of being part of that family business, because that's always a challenging place to be.
Right. Well, I think that you were very blessed in being able to have that conversation with your dad, because I wasn't able to have that conversation with my uncle or my cousin. I still haven't been able to have that conversation and probably never will, because my uncle has passed on and my cousin is just not one of those type of people you can have that conversation with. So I did the next best thing. in my first book, Leading You Out of the Darkness into the Light, I discussed this whole, you know, idea of deciding to finally leave the business and do something on my own. And I basically thanked him in the book because without the things, without, you know, if it wasn't for him and others making me uncomfortable where I was, I'd probably still be there. And I would be unhealthy, if even alive, and probably still struggling. At least now, I'm still struggling. I still work every day, you know, trying to get to that point where, you know, make more reliable, sustainable income than I am now. But at least I enjoy the struggle. And so I would say, yeah, you have to have that conversation about whether or not you can be successful in the company. But I'll take it just a little bit different. Even successful may not be the total decision maker. If you can determine that there's a way for you to be satisfied in the business, then you could stay. But if you can never see yourself rewarded by the work you're doing or feeling a part of the business to the point where whatever small part you're doing, whatever amount of money you're making from it, that you feel like you are investing in something, that you're part of something. And, you know, that was how me and my dad were able to continue going up and down the road all those years, is because, you know, we weren't making a lot of money. We weren't seeing a lot of big progress in the business, but it was us. It's us against the world. You know, we were working every day to be as good as or better than the other guys to grow the business so that next year we'd make more money. And so I'd say that, yeah, can you be successful is a good question. But the other question is, can you be happy even if you're not financially successful?
And that's determining success on your own terms. And exactly. And I love that you said that, is that success is not always money. Success is very rarely money. You know, we all need money to survive. We all need to buy a house, put our kids through school, you know, put food on the table. There's givens that we need, you know, we need food. I am far from being a socialist. However, to me, success is determined by you. You can't live by somebody else's level of success. You need to be successful on your own terms. You need to say, these are my goals. These are the things that are important to me. These are the things I want to achieve in life. And these are the things that I think are going to make me a better person. And the question is, you can sit there and say, am I doing this now? Great. If I'm not doing this now, maybe that's a kick in the pants we need to sit there and say, okay, it might be time to go look for something else.
Right. And, you know, coming from this world, from the point of view you come at it from, as somebody who's into developing brands and creating them and growing them, I think one of the biggest reasons for failure among a lot of entrepreneurs is because they have set themselves the goals that they see other people achieving. And I honestly think that one of the most dangerous presences on the internet are people like the Kardashians, because they are making millions of dollars from their online efforts. And they invested in things. You know, they appear to be happy. We don't know if they're happy or not. You can never tell what's going on in the mind of the other person. But I think there are way too many people who got into the online world thinking they were going to be Kardashian or whatever the next name after them is. And then when they either can't reach those levels, those 6, 7, 8-figure levels, or they can't reach them as quickly as they expected to, then there's a lot of disappointment, frustration, and even depression.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Your BrandMarketing.live podcast is sponsored by How to Retain Employees Through Leadership online course. Go to courses.yourbrandmarketing.com. That's courses.yourbrandmarketing.com and put in Your Living Brand 50 for a $50 coupon. Thanks a lot. Welcome back to the Your Living Brand live show. Well, yeah, and that goes beyond your personal life. I mean, you're right. I mean, people look at the internet and they sit there and say, look at somebody succeeding, but you never see the B side of those people's lives. You know, you never see. I love looking at it. It says, you know, for people who remember the 45s with the B side, you know, when you flip the record over and you play the opposite side, the record was never quite as good. The song on the B side was never quite as good. And if you look at a lot of people online, all you see is their hero moments. They want to show you is how wonderful things are and how great things are and the beautiful homes that they have and the cars and the clothes and all that kind of stuff. But you never see what happens, you know, when the lights go off, and you never see the challenges that they go through, because all these people go through challenges. But the problem is, when we look at the social media, all we see is the limelight, and we can't sit there and judge ourselves by somebody else's highlight reel.
No, that's exactly true. And I remember the B-side. In fact, you just brought back a great memory of mine. The B-side of Otis Redding's Dock in the Bay. I can't remember the name of the song, but the lyrics were offensive. And we could only play that side of the record when the parents were out of the house, you know?
I'm going to have to look that up. I can't remember what the name of the song is, but I'm going to have to look that up.
A lot of cuss words on the B-side of Otis Redding's Dock in the Bay. But yeah, that was true back then. And it's true on social media. You know, it's a great reference. And in fact, one of the things I get quite often from coaches and from people who, you know, are sharing their thoughts about me online is they'll go, you know, Max, I know your brand is authenticity, but could you maybe be a little more positive in your language about your authenticity? Because you've seen my stuff. I mean, you know, if shit happens, people are going to know that it happened.
It's absolutely.
You know, I'm not the kind of person that's going to hide the bad stuff because, you know, I've read great novels. And, you know, if you go back to The Hobbit with Bilbo Baggins, they had to drag him out of his hole at the beginning of that book. At the end of the book, he helps kill a dragon. You know, there's lots of really bad things that happen along the way in a really great novel. And I'm trying to live a life where, you know, it's along those same lines and think the bad stuff happens. But what did I learn from it? What can the people following learn from about me or about themselves from it? What positive did maybe come out of it? I don't know if you were at MapCon in 2018, but you know, they lost my luggage and people said that the way I handled myself that weekend, it was as if I was wearing a new suit from Armani or something. I spent the week in 4-day-old jeans and a t-shirt. You know, earlier this year, my flight was late. I had to spend the night in a hotel with nothing. And because I stayed positive throughout it, I sold one of my books to the guy pushing the wheelchair, helping me get through the airport to my next destination. So yeah, the negative is, you know, the bad stuff that happens in my experience is definitely out there. It's in my books. It's in my podcast. And I've actually turned down people for my show because, as I told more than one person this, I don't know that you've ever struggled. And if I don't know you've struggled, how do people watching my show, how will they know that you've struggled? And if you've never struggled, we're sending them the wrong message.
Well, and that's it. We all struggle. And I think we're all better off because we've struggled. If our life goes from one highlight reel to another highlight reel, if we go from being hired to our dream job to all of a sudden become the vice president, become the senior director, to become the CEO of the company, the end and die, how interesting is our life? Yes, we made a lot of money. However, it's the things that happen along the way. It's the people that we meet. It's the challenges that we have. It's the challenges that we overcome and the lessons that we learn from it that make us better. You know, if you look at the hero's journey, if you look at, you know, the Lion King, Simba did not become king without challenges. We all have challenges in our life. We all have days where we wake up and we go, what do I do now? And I think that if we all realize that, and realize that everybody around us has those same feelings that we do, I think we're all going to be a lot less harsh on ourselves because, you know, you alluded to it earlier, is the sense of depression that goes on is amazing in the world today because everybody thinks that the world should be perfect, that everything should, excuse the expression, that nobody shit stinks. Guess what? It all does. You know, and we all have these days where we get up in the morning and we sit there and say, you know what? I don't know where I'm going or how I'm going to get there, but it's how we get through that day and we get onto the next day and we get onto the next day. And all of a sudden you've moved a little bit forward and you've gotten beyond that depression and you've gotten to a point in your life where you can sit there and say, okay, what's next? That's what makes us better people. That's what makes us more interesting. That's what makes people want to follow us. And that's what makes people want to listen to us because we have that tapestry of life. And I think it's the tapestry that we all go through that makes us the people that we are and makes the successes that we have in our life that much sweeter.
I couldn't agree with you more. And while people often wonder why an author would recommend somebody else's book, one of my favorite books on this subject is called The Adversity Advantage. Is written by Eric Wehmeyer, who's a visually impaired, a blind person that's, you know, that's summited Everest and done a lot of other crazy things. And, you know, I mean, bona fide crazy, in my opinion. But I think, in my opinion, that book is better than the adventure stories about the places he's been, the stuff he's done, because it really gets into the struggles he had as a elementary and junior high school student, as a school teacher in Arizona before, you know, all the other stuff happened. And he talks about the value of our adversity and, you know, like my book, he also gives, you know, techniques and exercises you can do to get to where you can understand it, appreciate it, and use it. So, yeah, I definitely think it's our struggles that make us who we are. I agree with you that if everything went well, it would be boring. And, you know, think about this too. If success is a drug, then people who start off where nothing goes wrong, you have to wonder at some point, what will they consider? I mean, what will they do next? I mean, what will be good enough? We live in a country or a world where it's no longer, where a millionaire is no longer considered the ultimate in the financial world. We have millionaires and billionaires, and we're soon going to have people worth over $100 billion. So beyond the fact that the adversity helps us, I wonder about people who never have struggles, if they don't also have the problem of having to continually find more success.
Well, I think we all need goals. I don't care if you're worth $100 or you're worth $100 billion. We all need goals. We all need to get up in the morning and say, okay, what's next? What are we going to do? It's not chasing the rainbow. It's not looking for the brass ring. It's motivating yourself to sit there and say, what else can I achieve? I wake up every morning and say, who can I help? Whose life can I make better? You know, that to me is a great day. If I can go to bed at night and say, you know what? I made three people's lives better and they are able to achieve their goals because I was able to lift them up and help them move themselves forward. To me, that's a great day.
That is a great day.
And it's not about me. My life, in a lot of respects, is not about my own personal success. Yes, I get paid. Yes, I make money. Yes, I do amazing things and have a very blessed life. But you know what? My motivation in life is watching other people succeed. And that's why I podcast. That's why I write books. That's why I speak live. That's why I consult. It's to sit there and say, how can you make other people's lives better? And the more we as individuals can sit there and say, what motivates us individually? What are the things that motivate you? What are the things that get you up in the morning? What are the things that keep you going all day long? I think that if more people ask themselves that question honestly and stop saying money, you know, stop saying fame, stop saying money, because you know what? Those are dividends. Fame and money are dividends. You know, what do you want to do in order to make your life and the life of people around you better? If you can figure that out, and figure out how you can achieve those goals, you know what? You're going to live a better life and other people's lives are going to be affected because of it.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's definitely the way it works best longest term. And it kind of reminds me of what most of the great home run hitters have always said. And I understand you're from Canada, so I don't know if y'all get baseball up there much, but
absolutely.
I know we got the Blue Jays. World Series. I'm sorry. Yeah, they won two World Series after all. But, you know, most of the great hitters have always said they never tried to hit the ball out of the park. They only tried to hit the ball hard and let the home run take care of itself. And so, you know, doing the work, as you're saying, helping people accomplish their goals, which is something we both have in common, that's the objective. The money, the fame, the pats on the back, those are the dividends. And I think that's a great way of explaining it. And I do wish more people could get past the idea that the only measure of success is money, jewelry, cars, houses, boats, etc.
Agreed. So let's get through this. And we're running out of time. So I want to make sure that I really touch on this. Is what took you from the Midway marketplace, you know, an industry that you knew? You absolutely knew the Midway industry. You knew the buy and sell. You got very comfortable doing this. To move you to the point where now you're a public speaker, you're an author, you're a blogger. What was the transition and what caused that transition to occur?
I think that it really began in 2013 because at that point I was frustrated with the fact that I wasn't able to attend the major trade shows for industry. I didn't have the facility to go meet people face to face, not even here in the Houston area, because I live in Conroe, which is a suburb. Transportation options were non-existent. They've gotten a little better, but still no real easy way for me to get around the city. And so in 2013, I answered an ad on LinkedIn to appear on a podcast, well, a radio show hosted by Brian the Hammer Jackson, where he was wanting to feature small business owners. And so I signed my name up. They picked me. I went on the show. First week was horrible, but he asked me to come back the second week. Second week went great. He ended up doing his show every Friday morning for 6 months and really, you know, just got accustomed to sharing my experiences, doing interviews, asking questions, answering questions. It was a great learning experience. And what it did was is that at it started to open me up to the possibility that I had more in me. I was capable of more things than just selling amusement equipment. And I had had friends. There's a lady named Adrienne Smith, who I refer to as my blogging mama, who had been telling me for a long time that I had the ability to inspire others, that the fact that I had a built-in excuse and didn't take advantage of it was very inspiring to other people, because there are lots of people that don't have a good reason to keep them from going after their goals and dreams, and yet they sleepwalk through their lives and don't take any action. She said, that's what makes your story compelling, what makes you inspiring, and sooner or later, you're going to realize it. So end of 2013, beginning of 2014, I won a competition for a guest blog post, and somehow, in the middle of the night, exchanging emails between me and the blog owner in India, there came out this blog post, Life Lessons from a Blind Blogger. And it was things that I had learned along the way that had allowed me to build a website, to grow the traffic, to get comments and that sort of stuff. That post appeared, it got over 100 comments. And the things people said to me after reading that post, the emails I got, it finally made it click inside me. You know, Max, you are really doing really well at this equipment stuff. You do know the industry. There are lots of other companies in the industry that are bigger than you, but you know, you're still succeeding. And in fact, I've made several sales where actually angered a couple of the big dogs because they thought they had exclusive rights to the equipment I sold. So, but between those various events, it finally sunk into my brain that I was capable of more. And so to me, this is where the most important part of your community, whether it's online, in person, or both, comes into play, because the really great people in this world, the really true friends, the people that have your best interest at heart, the ones who will say, you're hiding, you're BSing yourself, there's more inside you than you are letting the world see, and I want to be there when you finally accept this. So because I had these people, talented, qualified, successful people telling me that this was in me, that my message was inspiring other people, whether I wanted it to or not, because of all the time spent on the radio with Brian and with some of his team, it all sort of came together. And, you know, about 5 years ago, I wrote the first post, which was titled, I Think I'm Ready to Be an Inspiration.
That's an amazing thing. If you can find the post, Lessons from the Blind Blogger, I'd love to be able to put that in the show notes. I think that would be, that'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, sure. It's at aha-now.com. And the site is owned by Harlina Singh. And she's an amazing woman who managed to get stuff out of me that I hadn't even, that I was nowhere near ready to say to myself, much less to the rest of the world. And that was the final moment, you know, the thing that pushed it over the edge. And of course, it was the heartfelt replies to the post that I got after it went live.
That's amazing.
So let's not forget the important part here. Every person that's listening to this knows at least one person, or maybe they are that person, that needs to hear that something special about themselves. And if you know this person and you know this thing about them and you haven't told them yet, then when you hear this podcast, I want to hear that you've told them, that you've explained it to them. You've made the case that, hey, you are this, whether you realize it or not. You're an excellent baker. You do great parties. You send great thank you notes. Whatever it is, tell them, because it may not only be something that will improve their day, it may be something that will change their life and start them on a path towards something that they never thought, something they never saw inside themselves before, if you don't tell them.
I love that. We all need champions of our brand. We all need people that boost us up and show us that our own, what makes us special, because sometimes we don't see it in ourselves. Sometimes we don't see our own unique purpose, our own magic. And sometimes having somebody that can sit there and tap you on the shoulder and tell you what, you know, why you're special and why you're valuable, you know what? That not only makes us feel good, but you're right. It gives us purpose and it might point us in the right direction.
Yeah. And don't forget the explanation, because a lot of times you will tell somebody they're special, but you don't tell them why. And sometimes, you know, we have this natural inclination to disbelieve those kinds of things about ourselves. So the explanation is what it will take to make it sink in.
I love it. Max, I need to let you go, but I'm going to ask you two questions before you go. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Well, it's theblindblogger.net, theblindblogger.net. And since you do it, I'll do it. They can just send me an email to just ask at theblindblogger.net.
I love it. We'll make sure we get all that in the show notes as well. And here's the last question I ask everybody. So as you leave a meeting, you know, you get off a podcast, you get out, you know, you finish off an article and you hit send. What's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
Yeah, that's really, what is the one thing I want to think them to think about me? I would say that I am not anything special. I'm not the most talented, most prolific, most consistent, but I am the guy who shows up every day and works his ass off.
And you know what? There's a lot to be said being the person who just shows up. Part of the thing is if we don't show up, the magic can't happen. So thank you for showing up, Max, and thank you for being an amazing guest on my show.
Well, thank you, Ben, for having me. I always appreciate and enjoy these conversations. I look forward to seeing you again in the future.
Absolutely.
This has been the YourLivingBrand.live show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at YourLivingBrand.com and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level, contact us for a free 30-minute consultation at YourBrandMarketing.com. That's www.YourBrandMarketing.com. Thank you for listening and sharing. And tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?